Welcome to the B-side. It is Tuesday. It is somewhere in the middle of November. I want to say the 17th.
Yeah,
November 17th. It is miserable outside, but it is warm and toasty here in the B-side studios.
Weather outside is frightful,
but the conversation will be hopefully delightful.
There's no place to go.
Let it grow, the B-side listenership. Let it grow. Let it grow. Let it grow. We are glad you're listening.
It's after Remembrance Day, so you can listen to Christmas music without hating veterans.
Right. Unless you don't like Christmas music, then why listen to it? I'm not a big Christmas music guy.
I'm married to someone who is.
Yeah, so am I. Different women, but they're both like Christmas music apparently.
Just to
clarify, yeah, we don't. There's things we do share, mostly coffee and those kind of things in the office, but no spouses or homes or anything like that. I digress. Anyway, yeah, I'm not a big fan of Christmas music, but I do like the classic Christmas, like, hymns you sing on Christmas Eve. Like, I like, Old Come School. All You Faithful and some of those things. But
you know, our Christmas series this year is named after a hymn.
Oh, which hymn is that?
You'll have to find out on the first Sunday of Advent, Sunday, November 30th.
Yeah, that's coming up fast.
30th? Is that a Sunday?
That's 29th.
Yeah, don't come on Sunday the 30th. Monday the 30th.
Unless you want to be a part of a lively staff meeting where we break down the previous week.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know that that's just open to anyone, so maybe call first. anyway, thanks for listening. We had a very full weekend this weekend, but a very good weekend. We had Bill Hogg here, who is the national missiologist for the C2C Church Planning Network, former pastor. He's actually, his resume is pretty outstanding. He's got a bucket load of experience, lived in different places. He's really good at accents, I noticed. His Scottish accent was the best.
Yeah, very did good job of that.
But so his Friday,
English, his Irish, he did Southern accents.
Yeah, he had a few. His Southern wasn't, I didn't think, as on point. You could still hear the hints of the Scottish accents, but they're pretty good. I love a good Scottish accent. I can listen to Irish people and Scottish people talk about almost anything. But thankfully, his content was fantastic, so it was a benefit to just get to enjoy the sound of his cadence and the content. But we spent Friday evening and Saturday morning kind of breaking down what it means to be Good News people. How do we kind of infiltrate the communities we live in with the gospel? And it was, I thought it was really helpful.
Yeah.
I like, as somebody who kind of goes to conferences as part of regular church life on a regular basis, I love going to something like this and feeling like I'm not just here to checkmark an attendance thing, but there's something for, I thought everyone, this is my roundabout way of saying, I thought everyone who went would have got something beneficial out of that weekend, no matter where you kind of are on the spectrum of training or whatever. Yeah. But we talked at great length about reaching our communities and being missional, and that's something we've talked about as a church for a long time. It's part of the heartbeat of our church, the core values, and so this a question that came in, and a question kind of that arose out of this weekend was the idea of how far do we go into these communities? So the idea of the old adage of we're called to be in the world but not of the world, and so how do we kind of separate ourselves from the world and not being influenced or kind of led into sin through the temptations that might exist in the world, while at the same time meeting the needs of the community, sharing the gospel with people who don't know Jesus. There's a clear balance, because on one side you could go to the end of my life looks really nothing different than any of the community people I am. I don't need to go
totally
to church.
Immersed in
the world. I'm totally immersed in the world. I participate in the same activities. Whether they're good for me or not. So there's that side, which we can all probably think of people that would fit into that category. And then there's the other side, kind of the separatists. Like, we must create a duality in how we live, that there are things that are sacred and there are things that are secular, and we must grab the things that are sacred and abhor the things that are secular. And I think both of us would agree that both of those are bad. They're not necessarily a good way. So how do we kind of split the divide? Because that's actually the harder thing.
Yeah.
Right? So the question that we want to tackle today is how do we separate ourselves from the world while maintaining a missional presence in the lives of non-believers?
Yeah, I think it's good. It's for all of us to recognize and wrestle with. Because I think even in our own church, there would probably be people, not knowing the details of ins and outs of everyone's week, but just from conversations, I could probably point out people that I think lean too much one way or in the middle, right, who lean too much the other way. So there's a risk of being too surrounded, immersed in the world and not rooted in the church, which leads to following others into sin, potentially. Not right. inherently, but potentially.
Right.
So it's not wrong, it's a risk. Likewise, there's people who are so surrounded by church life and throwing themselves into the things of the church, serving in the church, growing, Bible studies, community groups, events, classes, all sorts of stuff. Good stuff, really good stuff. But do they have any non-Christian friends at all?
Yeah.
And they might be faithful in their doctrine and in their growing and their godliness, but one of the things about godliness is being a good, faithful missionary.
Right.
Being a witness to Jesus in the world. And so sometimes we forget that that's a part of a healthy, growing Christian walk, is that we're witnesses. We're bold witnesses.
Right.
And if we don't, you know, the question of make a list of the non-Christians in your life that you're trying to share Jesus with. Some people's list is zero people. And I think there's some repentance and growth needed there.
Yeah.
I would say, because it's really hard for me, because my workplace, a few of my neighbors are already Christians, so when I think of my neighbors immediately that I can build relationships with, some of them we are trying to invite to church and tell them about Jesus and be present in their lives, love and serve them, but others we do as well, but they're already followers of Christ. So I need to grow in this because I naturally spend a lot of time with leaders in the church, investing in people, equipping them for ministry.
Well, and that's temptation, right? Is it not just us, but other people who are heavily involved in church life, is that when you build your life around the church, sometimes you really got to seek out a lot more intentionality. Like, like my wife and I were talking about the same thing on Saturday, is that she's a nurse, and in her work life, there's very few Christians that she works with.
So surrounded
she
by.
Has a constant opportunity, and for her, it was a real kick in the pants, I think, to kind of go like, okay, like I need to be more intentional to leverage this opportunity. Whereas for me, it was almost the opposite, where I went, okay, I need to be more intentional about seeking out opportunities to connect with people or have spiritual conversations with people that I know that I'm already in contact with, but whether it's my hairdresser, the guy I buy gas from, like whatever, to just leverage those, in a sense, for lack of a term, more intentionally.
I think we probably all have something to repent of.
Yeah.
Like, some people have lots of those relationships, but they're not bold in witness. Others maybe find it easy to talk about Jesus, but don't actually know anyone that needs Jesus. They're not loving their community. They're not trying to be a witness. And I think Bill challenged us in those things. And even at the workshop, there were people on both sides of things that just based on where God's placed them. So, let's do a passage and then a few points. So
good call.
John 17, I think, there's lots of places we could go to. Clearly we were sent by Jesus and commissioned by him to be his witnesses. And the entire book of Acts, we could look at, and we see both in Acts, and we preach through the first half of it, hoping to return to it maybe later this year. But the
next year.
Yeah, next year, not later this year. There's
something like six.
Sorry, I'm in January.
Something like seven.
I'm already done with Christmas. Yeah. Oh, Christmas.
Steve loves Christmas, just so you know.
It's the best.
Yeah, don't let it fool you.
It's the most wonderful time of the year.
He just doesn't love Christmas carols or getting presents. So don't get him anything. You can get those things for me. You can anything that you want to give to Steve, pass my way.
Anyway. But in Acts, we see both radical, bold, spirit-led mission, and we see the community growing in the Word together, strong, following Jesus, empowered for the mission. So it's both. In John 17, though, is a place I keep going back to because it's such a fascinating thing. Jesus is praying for his disciples. So what does Jesus want us to do? So we're looking at the very things that Jesus is asking the Father to do for us.
Right.
his disciples immediately, and then he prays for all those who are going to come to believe in his name later. So it's really instructive for us on what does Jesus want us to do. Well, these are the very things he's praying for us to do. So he says in John 17:15, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, so I have sent them into the world. He goes on. It's a larger passage. But just in those few verses, we see these two ideas connected. We're sent just in the same way Jesus was sent. He wasn't from here. Get into incarnation and hypostatic union and theological stuff like that. But the point is, Jesus was here as a visitor, in a sense. It wasn't his home. And he was sent on mission for a purpose to represent God and his kingdom here in the world. And we're sent in the same way. So we have to live sent. And he doesn't want us to be sort of sectarian and separate from the world. We're not trying to escape. We're not trying to protect ourselves and leave. Some people have this attitude, like we're going to go start a colony. Remember when I lived in Manitoba, there was colonies.
Yep.
Where I think the idea was a religious commune, basically, where the way to protect ourselves from the world is to separate completely, like get off the grid and just live as a community. From my interactions with that people, I don't think it was successful. Turns out sin is not something that's in the world, it's in our hearts, and it comes with us.
Yeah.
So
just watch Breaking Amish.
Yeah.
Seen that?
Yes. I have seen that show once.
And yeah.
So Jesus prays that we would not do that.
Yeah.
Because he has sent us into the world. So, but there's this other side, which we still need to be protected from the evil one. He prays that we would keep them from the evil one. And he says, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. So the way that we're protected from sin and evil is not by hiding from it, but by tethering ourselves to the truth and being protected from by God from the evil one. So he wants us in the world that he has sent us to, but rooted in the truth and protected by God. So there's this tension, balance between these ideas that we need to carry with us. So we're to live in the in but not of actually works. Like, I think it's where we are, and we're sent with a purpose, though, with a mission to represent Jesus and advance his kingdom, glorify his name. And yet there is an inherent danger Jesus recognizes in doing this.
Right.
This is the presence of the evil one. We need protection, spiritual protection. We also need to root ourselves, sanctify ourselves, tether ourselves somehow, and it's to the word, to the truth. Your word is truth. So be grounded in the scriptures and purposeful in mission. And that's the balance we need to hit. So a few ideas, thoughts then, this question, how should we separate? I think there's a balance that's needed where we are connected into a church community that's helping us grow, that's teaching us the word, that we're encouraging others. We have responsibilities for each other. So we're in a rich, strong church community. So be in a community group. Have people in your lives that will hold you accountable and pray for you. Be part of the church family
and
growing
the word,
strong. Like, yeah. So come, sit under the word, worship together, be in a community group. Have those things in your life that keep you growing, keep you strong. And that's where you find your strength, your encouragement, prayer support, protection, rooting yourself in the word. That's key, integral to a healthy Christian life. And also, at the same time, love your neighbors. Speak about Jesus. Be a witness and recognize that Jesus has sent you and he's not called you to isolate from the world, but to be in it. So since he's sovereign over all things, as Bill often said, he's sovereign over your postal code. He knows which street you live on. He puts you there. He's ordained the times and places. So, you know, your neighbor is not a fluke. Your neighbor is ordained by God. So what are the opportunities? Watch for the opportunities, be sensitive to the Spirit, pray for your neighbors, all these sorts of things. So both these things, be rooted in community and be present in your neighborhood. It's maybe a way of saying it.
Right.
Okay, so one way to be protected as you're in the world is to be rooted in the church. If you're not rooted in Christian community, it's more easy to be affected and run the risk of falling into sin and walking away in a negative way, being influenced by the world. Another thing I would say is a growing relationship with Jesus Christ is crucial in all this.
Right.
If there's somebody who's totally stagnant, does not read their Bible, does not pray, is not growing, is not connected with the church well, maybe a bit, but not much, and they're really, they're not walking with Jesus at all. And that person who does not have a growing, vital relationship with Jesus, the Spirit is not guiding them in their lives, they're not prayerful, and they're immersed, surrounded by, even part of the time, non-Christians, having kind of cut themselves off from Jesus who sanctifies us and guides us, they're going to be quite susceptible to just going with the crowd.
Hmm.
The Spirit's not in them, urging them and guiding their words and protecting their steps. So having a vital, healthy, growing relationship with Jesus, where we're prayerful, sensitive to the Spirit, desiring to honor Him and obey Him, is going to do more good than physically removing your body from a pub. Better is to be walking with Jesus, so when you're in situations, whether it's at work, hockey team, whatever, pub, whatever it may be, you're out there, your vital, active relationship with Jesus is going to guide you and strengthen you, and you're not so easily swayed. And it's your changed, transformed life which does more speaking than even your words.
Right.
You're just out there loving Jesus, trying to honor His name. You'll speak about Him when you can and that type of thing. That's your best resource for evangelism, is loving Jesus in public.
Right. And I would say, as I absolutely agree. And the caveat is that there's a level of discernment that is necessary, right? Like,
yeah.
In it. So the side of, like, you might, I don't want, I would hope people don't hear, like, oh, we need to be in the world at all costs. That's not necessarily true. We need to use discernment to go,
yeah.
Okay, where are places where I'm, my character and heart are not being transformed into the likeness of the world as a result of participating in whatever. So, you know, the example I'm thinking of as a youth pastor, I try to tell my students, yeah, be influencers in the schools.
Yeah.
Hang out with your non-Christian friends. Maybe go to a party once in a while. But it doesn't mean you condone or participate in illegal activities that might take place there, or immoral activities that happen. Like, there's almost like a fly on the wall mentality, but where you're engaged in positive interaction, not negative. And so it is a fine line, I think, that we have to walk sometimes as Christians, to go, you know, like, I was talking to my older brother who was at a business conference a while ago in a part of the world where, you know, he's trying to do that. He's an elder at his church. He's trying to actively engage the people he works with the gospel and how it's changed his life and how it can change theirs. And they went out for dinner, and then these guys were trying to convince him to go to a gentleman's club. Right, where
you won't find a single gentleman.
Yes, right. And he just said, like, man, he's like, they were putting the full court press on me. Like, come on, be with us. You said you wanted to, and he just said, like, well, at some point you got to draw a line. And it's like, I was happy to go have a drink with them at the pub and whatever, but I went back to my room and I called my wife instead of going with them to that. Because there is a limit.
And that may actually strengthen his witness, not undermine it, right?
Yeah. So there's, I mean, part of it is just going, like, I don't think we just go, and you're not saying this, but we aren't to go headlong into the world no matter what.
No.
We're to use wisdom and discernment and let it be motivated by a growing relationship with Jesus.
Which is why that's vital, right?
Yeah.
Because the Spirit's going to ordain and guide and set us up.
Well, I thought the most important part of Bill's message on Sunday morning and at the workshop is that we got all these practical tools and ideas of how to share the gospel, but that at the deep root of it all is it's a heart issue, is that our desire to be missional and share the gospel of Jesus comes from kind of the wellspring of what He's done in our lives, and that often a changed heart is what motivates mission. And so if your faith life is stagnant, really, I think oftentimes we're just trying to moralize people into something that's not the gospel. But when we've been changed by it, it's a different story.
The other thing I think, too, is having a balance in your relationships where you can actually make a list and go, who are the people that are pre-Christians that need to know Jesus, that I have opportunities, skeptics, growing, and who are the growing Christians and leaders and mature Christians that I'm investing in, and going, okay, do I have a good balance of people here? Am I investing my time wisely, evenly? Is in these relationships, we go into them seeking to be an influencer, not to be influenced.
Right.
So I know there's some people who have lots of relationships with non-Christians, and yet are more influenced than they are influencers.
Right.
And Jesus didn't say, go out into the world and learn how to live from them.
Yeah.
But you're tethered by the truth, right? Yeah. Our ideology, our theology, our view of life, our view of how the world works, our view of current events, our view of eternity, heaven and hell, what's right and wrong, are all shaped by the Word, not the world. But we want to be in the world so we can influence other people and help them see Jesus and to love them. But some people go into those relationships and in the end are more shaped than they do shape others. Right. And that's where it becomes risky. So it has to be intentionality, wisdom, tethered to the scriptures, going in to love people, serve them. And, you know, I think sometimes people worry about, oh, if you're in the world, you know, compromising situations. But really, is it that compromising to build a relationship with your neighbor, to invite them over for dinner, to shovel their walk, or we don't get snow, to do something like just serve them in some
catch
way?
Catch their rain on
the rake their leaves, yeah. Help them out, like just to be a good, you know.
Get their mail when they go away.
Can't remember when Bill was saying about Halloween and how they made hot chocolate. And, you know, it's one of the reasons why our family participates in Halloween. I'm not really a big fan of Halloween, honestly. Yeah. It's kind of lame and all this, but we knew that there's not many kids on our street. The neighbors that we're trying to build a relationship with were all eager to see our children come to their door. Yeah. They were looking forward to us. So we'd go over and chat for a bit. And yeah, it's just an opportunity to be present in their life one more time versus cut that off. And they were excited. In fact, our neighbors were like, brought us a pizza. They were like, there's not many kids that come by and they don't need all that candy anyway. So they bought us a pizza and brought it over because we're trying to get to know them. We're trying to not waste these opportunities. God's put them beside us for a reason.
Well, I think on the flip side too, we also have to remember that, without sounding too legalistic, in order for it to, like, we sometimes like to, in the church, like to call everything ministry, everything missions, everything's evangelical outreach.
Yeah. If everything is mission, then nothing is mission.
Right.
I can't remember who said that, but it sounds wise.
I think Steve Droger said it. But at some point, I think, you know, like, we got to open our mouths and share the reason for the hope we have, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that there's incarnational ministry where we're sitting alongside, we're shoveling, and those things are all good. But if it's not met with, at some point, with the hope of the gospel, then it is fruitless, but it can be a fruitless endeavor to a point of...
So I think...
It's a tricky, tricky line.
The questions that I got from Bill that we should all be asking ourselves are things like, who am I praying for? Who in my life... Are there people in my life that need Jesus that God has placed in my... So on my street, in my school, in my neighborhood, in my club, at my workplace, that I need to love, serve, and share Jesus with. Pray for those people. Pray for God's wisdom for who are those people that He's calling me to do that with. And I like how He talked, encouraged us towards 20 seconds of insane courage. Sometimes you just got to go for it. But I, in all this, in the world, or not of it, or in the world but not of it, how do we do that? I think we do it with compelled by the love of Jesus for people, not by compelled by a desire to watch all the latest movies. Yeah. Like, what's our motivation? If our motivation is we love people and want to see them know Jesus, and if our motivation is we love Jesus and He's changing us and we want other people to be changed too, and if we're coming out of a position of strength, being tethered to the truth through a church community, this is the recipe for faithful mission and seeing God at work. And I don't think there's a huge risk of being worldly. There's just as much risk of sin in the church as outside the church in that case. But if we're tethered to the Word, we love Jesus, and we love other people, and we're growing in those things, there'll be incredible opportunity for mission as we're prayerful and faithful and courageous.
Well, and as we read and understand the Gospels more and more, we'll see Jesus is the supreme example of what that looks like, right? Like, of what incarnational, of being in the world. I mean, he was the perfect example in the sense of he didn't just spend his time with the religious, you know, like he was accused of being, like I'm sure some people who are listening have been accused of being as a friend of sinners. So, he hangs out with the gluttons and the prostitutes.
Well, yeah.
That's the Christ doing that. So, I think with the right motivation, right? So I think with the right motivation, we should be doing the same thing. All right. Well, we will appreciate your insights on that. We'll wrap up there. Appreciate all the questions that do come in. If you do have a question, please send it to bside@thchurch.ca. And we will try to take them and do our best to answer them as faithfully and honestly as we can. Other than that, have a great week. We hope we see you on Sunday morning for worship together.